understand perfectly. Thank you. I'm as tired as you are. I see your body language, and I appreciate that. I'm Al Bradley. I have a property at 23 Arnell Road. In the original Old Landing development, started by Robert's grandfather, we're the stepchild out of this. You haven't heard any, we don't have any major presentation, no nice boards, no photos, no attorneys. But we are a part of the development, and we are going to have a price to pay for the establishment of the golf course. We don't fit into the category of being here to judge the beauty contest or anything else that council may have desired to hear from us. We don't at all have a problem with Mr. Marshall cashing in on the grandfather's investment and developing the property, owner's rights. I spent a lot of my lifetime in and around real estate development, and I appreciate the opportunity. However, attention to your neighbors is very important. And I'm coming at this from an asphalt training. Numbers are great, but it depends on how you put them together as to what answer you get. We've heard an awful lot about those numbers and whether or not something works or it doesn't work, whether it will flood or it won't flood. Let's talk from a reality. Old Landing Woods told you the realities of flooding. He has shown you pictures. Unfortunately, I don't have pictures. In Sandy, we left Arnell Road because it flooded. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to take a Sandy to flood Arnell Road. I can talk about impervious surfaces coming about to cause flooding of areas and flood because Mr. Marshall has a very large commercial building at one end of his track that contributes to the flooding of Arnell Road because there is no retention pond. In spite of the fact that my understanding is after Sandy, Denerec asked that to be established, but there has been no movement for that. On the other end of the landing, or on Arnell Road, we have the course, I think it's probably the highest mountain peak or at least rise in Sussex County that has the golf course clubhouse on. We suffer on that end of it from the runoff of the waters from there. One of the houses is constantly has water under their home and trying to mitigate that. Admit it doesn't flood every time it rains, but it does flood. I wish I had had the opportunity earlier to think about it, but I have pictures of our neighbors kayaking in the streets in front of our house. So it does happen. Again, don't have all the numbers. I know you had traffic studies and you've listened to enough. I appreciate the posture. After a while, you hear enough of it. However, let's do the asphalt. We know what the effects have had. You can put a line across the street and measure a car crossing it back and forth and say, no problems. We do deal with school buses now. We deal with the trucks traffic, et cetera. And we also deal with the summertime traffic that PennDOT or DelDOT, see, I'm from Pennsylvania. That's terrible. But DelDOT brought the traffic off of Route 1 as a shortcut down Warrington Road. You have a problem there, no doubt. I have a neighbor across the street that many years ago, before there was such a diversion of traffic, who is still suffering this day because he was involved in a very serious accident, unconscious for 6 months, and still has physical problems at that same stop sign. So it doesn't take a genius to understand that there is problems on Old Landing Road as far as traffic is concerned. I sent each one of you a letter outlining some of the issues, and I included in there the original plot plan of the first Old Landing. Now, there's three of them, I guess, or four of them, but this is the original Old Landing. You will note that Arnell Road was never meant to be a dead end. Marshall Road is a dead end and has a cul-de-sac. It was always intended for Arnell Road to go back out and provide a second entrance and exit from Arnell. Patients have been not necessarily a virtue for us because we note on the plot plan as presented that that's been abandoned. It is now housing and it goes to a gated community entrance. The only one, I guess, other than Mr. Marshall, who still would have his commercial building back in that area, we would not be able to use that, because also at the end of the road now are townhouse lots. So that has changed. However, Mr. Marshall has told many of us on more than one occasion, he maintained ownership of the roads so that he could have the ability to develop the golf course, and owners on the road couldn't stop it because it would be more traffic. Nobody has sat here and said we aren't against the development of it, but we always look forward to the extension of that road back out to Old Landing, because at the one end, that is also by Mr. Marshall's Marina, was it floods. And the only way we can get out when that happens, and they talked about the floods on December 9th and earlier this year, a heavy rain makes us either sit home and wait for it to recede or traverse through the standing water. Mail isn't delivered because they're told not to drive through that type of water on it. So it is, at best, an inconvenience. At worst, it could be a major problem. We have several elderly people. Not me. I only look that way. Not me, please. All right? We have several elderly people. Some, well, congratulations.
I totally
you have company. You have company. All right. We have one on oxygen. We have two, one that's 90-some years old, I think she is, and another one about 84. Right?
Just no.
I don't buy it. Don't look a day over.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. In any event, you have these issues. We think it is a life safety issue that Arnell Road be extended around and not to be cut off from a second entrance and a second entrance, exit and entrance from this site. Back on your maps, which I furnished to you, you will notice that Arnell has been in that plan. It's labeled. I didn't put it in there. I don't think anybody. That's the way they came out. These are the official copies of the map. And when you look at what Cape Cassette does, Arnell is there. It always has been. It was always to be brought back out to Old Landing. We've been patient in waiting it, and now by what is being proposed is eliminating that opportunity. That is a life safety issue for us. If we can even get to Old Landing Road to get out, so even before we do that and become a problem, we have to get out of our development. Somebody said, well, you just have to leave early. Well, that's nice. I appreciate that. And we did. And I have to admit, Mr. Marshall was very nice. He allowed us to park our automobiles on the slope by the clubhouse. It's not a mountain. It's just a little hill there. In order so we could get out that day. But we had to walk out of our development to finally evacuate our homes, because it does flood. It doesn't take a Sandy to flood back there. And it doesn't, and so far we have been fortunate. Although this home that I live in was developed by my family back in the mid-1950s. In fact, I learned how to drive going back and forth from Philadelphia to come down on weekends to help work. So that's back in about 19, forget it, it's too long. In any way, it was a case of knowing and looking at Old Landing Road, I understand the traffic, but that road hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is what's on the sides of Old Landing Road. It's the same road that was there in the 50s. Don't tell me that the people who put that road in ever foreseen the development that's alongside of it and developed the road to take care of it. It just isn't happening. It doesn't happen now. So, again, don't want to bore you with that. All I'm saying is, why I don't come with a suit and a tie. I'm not a scholar. I'm just a person who lives there. And we purchased this property in 1996 out of the estate of my family. Mm-hmm. So we've owned the property enough. I've been familiar with it enough for over the period of time. Helped build the property as a kid with my family. So I'm looking for the common sense approach to it. I heard council say everything. We have this in other developments. This, because you do something once doesn't mean you'll have to do something twice. Or even if you've done it three times, it doesn't mean that you're mandated to do four. I'm looking for and hoping for the common sense approach to this development. Not against Mr. Marshall developing the property. That's fine. I understand that. Flooding is an issue for all of us on his property. You've seen the pictures. On Arnell, I'll tell you, it is, and I could be more than glad to provide photographs for you. Won't be that big. They're, you know, maybe 5x7s or something like that. But in any event, it's there. And I'm asking for you to appreciate the asphalt approach to this thing. We live it. We've been there. Most of the people there. You don't see a lot of us because some of us have jobs. We're not all retired. And by the way, I would point that out about Sawgrass. I would point this about the other developments. We're not all retirees, and they're not all summer homes. People are living permanently. And that is evidenced by the 4 or 5 school buses that go up and down my Old Landing Road, picking up and discharging children. So we have to get out of the mentality that it's okay, there's an off season. Believe me, that has changed in the Rehoboth area. It's every season. Oh, we don't have the tourists that you get on not just Friday nights. It's Thursday night and Friday night. It's getting longer and all the time. And I just got this past weekend. Route 1 traffic, you thought it was in season. And I've always said Martin Luther King's birthday started the season over again, even when I only owned a home part-time. I thank you for your time. I'm sorry to bore you.
No, thank you. Thank you. Stop now.
Mr. Bradley, if I may. Mr. Bradley, over here.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I want to give you my card because I did receive your letter. But the spelling of my last name is Ariest on this.
Okay. I
figured you might want to know my last name. I'm going to give you my card, so therefore in the future correspondence, you've got it. Yeah, exactly. No, I appreciate you being here.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? I see one hand back here.
There's a couple of them, I think.
Couple or three. Again, I will point out, we have heard about flooding.
Get on down here.
We have heard about flooding, hydrology, traffic, zoning, the density, floodplains, wetlands, and environmental issues. It is okay to say ditto.
Oh, no. I have a whole new thing to present.
Okay. His name? No, I didn't get his. Did he leave his name?
We got it somewhere.
Okay.
Got it.
Lawrence didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
Yes, why don't you
My name is Josephine Ellen Teresa Hamilton. I'm Catholic. And I live in South Sawgrass. And actually, Ms. Starlette, this is directed to you since you asked about the more information about the archaeological site. I was assigned this project early on in the PLUS report. And it took me down quite a journey, I have to say, over a couple months. I went through the PLUS report, and I was asked to find anything that showed discrepancies. So initially, we found that the developer had responded to the Delaware State Historic and Preservation Office, that they have confirmed that they had found an archaeological site on this property. They gave the geographic location of it and said that it was identified by the state of Delaware. That was in July of 2014. Later on, going through the PLUS report for the third, fourth, fifth time, I don't even remember now, on October 8th, 2014, there was a second response from the developer saying that the Delaware State Office of Historic and Preservation had provided the developer with some information regarding a known archaeological site. The site was identified again, and Terrence Burns of the Bureau of Archaeology and Historic Preservation provided information determining the site was not within the Osprey Point. So I went through the file again, looking for the documentation that substantiated that response, and there was none. So I called Mr. Burns, and I asked him if he recalled having a conversation that stated the opposite of what he had originally reported. And he informed me that he'd never said that. Now I understand that Mr. Crouch, I don't know, he gave you an email or something, but I can't speak to Terrence Burns' memory, cognitive ability, but I did eventually go up there. I was allowed after about 3 weeks. I was told we could look at the map, we could see the site. And then all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, everything changed. I called ahead to make an appointment, as I was told I'd have to do, And the first go-round, I was told that the site had been whited out on the map. It was no longer there. He couldn't tell me who did it. He couldn't tell me when it happened. He couldn't tell me why it happened. He just knew that it had been whited out. And I said, well, why? And he said, I don't know. So I sort of let that simmer around for a week or so, and then I called back. And he said, well, we've sent an email out to your group, which I found real interesting since they didn't have any of our emails. But eventually we tracked down an email that was sent by the deputy from their office, Gwen Davis. And she stated in this email that there was, in fact, an archaeological site found on this property, and that we should contact Dr. Jay Custer from the University of Delaware, who was in charge of the site investigation. And so we did that. And he was a very nice gentleman. He called us back, and he said that he'd been with the University of Delaware for 35 years. He supervised the investigation of the site in 1989. He stated they had, in fact, found Native American artifacts there, some pottery, burned rocks from a fire pit, and that that's why they recommended that site have further survey done, because he said it's very common in the state of Delaware to find graves. A lot of the Indians lived along, and this is right close to Arnell Creek. That's where they lived. There was many trees and forests there, so they would, you know, go back into the forest, and that's where they had their sites. And he said, he recommended that I contact another archaeologist. So I called Dan Griffith, who is a certified archaeologist in the state of Delaware. He said, I'm very familiar with this golf course. I've been on it many, many times. And he said, I would tell you as a professional best guess that there are several burial sites on this property, given the history. And he said, less than 3 miles from here along Warrenton Road, we started a dig at the request of a family who was going to do a development. And he said, we didn't even intend to find any artifacts there, no sites whatsoever, and we've already uncovered 9 graves. So the fact that we're told over and over again to trust them, that they're going to do the right thing, this raised a huge red flag for myself and our community, given the fact of the sacredness of the ground. If there's, in fact, burial graves found there, then the Delaware state law kicks in. And I'm sure you guys know what that is. It's in the PLUS report. So I have a map that shows, I was also shown the form that the University of Delaware gave to the historic office that lists the artifacts. They're numbered. They're secured at the University of Delaware in a box. If anybody wants to go there and look at them, it's there. So you believe who you want. I have no doubt in my mind there's an archaeological site on here. And they did give me a map. I can present that to you so you can see, too, where it's located.
Okay, if you can give copies of that to Mr. Lank, please.
Okay, thank you.
So those articles are from this particular property.
Yeah, they said it's probably Woodlawn. They called it Woodlawn Native American. And it could be as early as 6,000 B.C.
So. Okay, I saw another hand, sir.
How many are there? For sake of potty break. Keep going, huh?
Okay.
Keep it going.
Good evening. I'm Ed Reinex from 22 Curlew Court. In Rehoboth Beach. I'm representing, I'm on the board of directors of the HOA there. And, pardon me. I'll be succinct. I'm not going to cover anything we've covered here before. We moved here a couple years ago, so I'm not a native. I moved from a county that was primarily agricultural. And after many decades, it went from farms to over 1 million people now, and I can see the results of clogged roads and so forth. And so when we moved down here, my wife and I we were hoping for growth here, certainly. We're in a resort area, but we're hoping for smart growth. And when I see something at our ages here, it's hard to be wowed anymore sometimes. So when I see the communities some of them are, and some homes are really nice.
I can still be wowed, just for
the record. Thank you. But what's presented, I have not seen the architectural, the homes, what they're going to look like. But I don't know if I'm going to be wowed enough to say, you know, is it worth putting all those homes up? I could see something in the $800,000, $1 million range on an acre. That would look pretty nice. I'm just hoping that controlled growth is on your minds, smart growth, and just want to leave you with that thought. Okay. I appreciate your time.
What area did you come from, sir?
Fairfax County, Virginia.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't you line up and kind of get in an order right here?
Did you sign in?
Hold on.
Yes, sir? Okay, very good.
My name is Dennis Berlin. I'm a resident of Sawgrass South. Moved here in 2008. I am also a cancer patient, and because of my condition, I've had 3 trips to BB Hospital in the last 6 months, and I just wanted to very quickly give you the time frames of the trips. I'm not a traffic engineer. First trip, I was. It took me. I called the ambulance at 5 a.m. Took 10 minutes to get to the house, 20 minutes to get to the hospital, 5 a.m. Second trip was 7 a.m. Took them 20 minutes to get to the house and 35 minutes to get to the hospital with a 8-car backup at Warrenton Road. The third trip, I drove myself, couldn't wait for an ambulance, and it took me 35 minutes. It was about 7 a.m. as well. So there is a significant backup on Old Landing Road at between 6 and 7 a.m. due to workers going to their respective offices. So I just wanted to let you know. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And hopefully you're doing better.
I hope so.
Yes. Yeah, amen. Thank you for being here.
Okay, if you want to go forward.
Come on, start talking, and you can write when he gets done.
Okay, hello. I'm Henry Fredrickson. I've been a resident of Sawgrass South since 2007. I'm not going to go into the traffic jam on Old Landing Road. I think that's been talked about enough. How about a solution? Nobody said anything about that. Just as a quick look, and I'm sure the Old Landing Woods people aren't going to like this, but if Fairway Drive were to be extended with a small bridge or a box culvert across Darnell Creek, that can connect right into Mulberry Knoll.
Well, then they don't want it over there. They don't want that drive.
I realize that. I've been in contact with Ernie Lopez about that. But until we get the traffic situation straightened out and actual planning on the books, I would strongly urge a building moratorium until we have the proper infrastructure to assure our safety. I don't think that's an unreasonable request. Like I said, I'm very short on my speeches.
And what did Senator say?
Thank you.
What did Senator Lopez tell you?
He was going to a meeting with DelDOT. I believe that was yesterday. I haven't gotten a response from him yet.
Okay.
But he seemed like he was open to the suggestion.
Very good. I think there lies the cog in the wheel.
Well, you're planners, too, so you have to...
We're not in charge of the roads. That's DelDOT, but we'll save that for another topic.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Come on down.
She can talk, this gal. I know her. While he's doing that.
There we go.
Jean Goldie Sanitate. Actually, Jersey Jean's my nickname. Moved from South Jersey and very familiar with overdevelopment. And they just poured asphalt all over South Jersey, number one. Number two, I am a retired Paralympian. I used to train on Old Landing Road. with my hand cycle. I ride a hand cycle. It's not a bicycle. It's actually like a tricycle, which I use my arms. It's very dangerous to drive or to ride down there. What I usually do now is I try to go through my community to get out onto a part of Old Landing Road, which it's beyond the golf course. But the problem is if I try to get out of my community, I live right out of two doors down from on Bon Air, two doors down to where they're going to put that additional turn lane. So what I would have to contend with is, number one, getting out on my community. Number two, the traffic turning left, the traffic turning right, and the traffic going straight. And I'm just one person on a hand cycle. This is my community. I want to be able to access and to continue to train. I do other veteran sports because I'm a wounded warrior. And I do other veteran sports. And I want to continue to enter into those competitions. But the only place that I have safely to train is down off of Old Landing. Number one, they need to extend the bike lanes, and usually when they extend a bike lane, it includes a turn lane. So we have that other issue there, too. That's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Was there someone else that was back here, had their hand up? Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
Going once, twice.
Anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the public hearing is over, Mr. President.
Yes, the public hearing's closed. Do we have need to keep public record open for specific things or just in general?
If there were specific items under our rules of procedure, it says specific items, specific time lengths.
Who's first, Mr. Cole?
I would make that suggestion that I said earlier, that we get some information on the stormwater regulations. We heard some testimony that, you know, certain dates, certain grandfathering and stuff like that. I'd love to get a clear feel of what's going on with stormwater management and how it would affect, possibly affect this project or anything. But I think if we could, maybe similar to what we did with DLDOT, maybe if we could invite somebody in, that might be more helpful, so then we could ask questions of that individual. So I'd like to leave the record open for a
person from... Mr. Brooks, we have a specific time also for this.
A time?
Yes.
You mean...
Specific comment, a specific time.
Like 30 days or something, whatever we want to do. I'm not talking, you're not talking about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
I'm talking, do you want someone at our next county meeting? It would have to be the following county meeting because of advertising purposes and FOIA.
Right.
I would say just as soon as it can get scheduled by the staff. Yeah. I don't think that we can control their availability, and we've got a week we've got to wait for anyway, okay? That's my request.
Mr. President, yes, I know the planning and zoning is still pending their recommendation for two items, correct?
That is correct.
I believe a DLDOT report, and I believe also the Conservation District report, if I'm not mistaken.
Similar to what I'm asking for.
Correct. So I would be in agreement that we need to keep this open so we can see those two reports at minimum, and then obviously get a recommendation from planning and zoning based on that as well.
And it will be held open for that.
Sure.
We always
DLDOT and Denver. Okay, good.
Mr. Lank, it's my understanding on those two items that planning and zoning wanted that at least one of those have already come in. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And after that, is there going to be a time period that people send their letters, have an opportunity to send so that they can respond to that report?
As I stated earlier, we have to report to the commission the receipt of the documentation that was requested. Then that way it's done on a regular agenda, and then 20 days after that date, the record will close, and anytime during that 20 days, anyone can comment in writing to the commission on those issues only. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at this point, we have Mr. Cole desiring to get a report from Soil Conservation. Mm-hmm. I believe the highway report is what we received today that's being given to planning and zoning.
Don't get the message that what they're going to do. We still don't know.
Who?
DLDOT.
No, we've only got a response to the question raised by Mr.
Lawson.
Great.
We have not got a DLDOT report yet.
Right. Okay. So we would hold it open for the same reports that planning and zoning waiting for, and then a 20-day period for anyone to address those specific issues after we get that report to give everyone fair shot, but it only be kept open as to those issues.
Right.
And if anyone responds in writing afterwards, it's only on those issues. It's not opening up everything again.
Right.
Correct.
So,
I was just going to say that the soil conservation people with the stormwater can address, because we heard about flooding, we heard about flood zones, and we heard about drain, you know, different things like that. So hopefully they can address all those, the right individual can. So.
Right.
I the flood zone area, probably our staff, Mr. Shockley, could address that. He's our personal staff.
Yeah, we could. Yep.
That's dealt with FEMA stuff.
And we can ask staff people at any time.
Yes.
Information. We don't have to. Right. We can just go and ask them, right?
Sure.
Yes, as it relates to these reports, will they come back? Public comment is no longer allowed, is that correct? Or it is allowed
specific to those items.
In
there
writing.
Will not be a new
in writing
public
only.
Hearing. It will be in writing.
Right. Okay. Right. On our agenda, we will announce that we've received the reports we were waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point in time, just like P&Z does, from that point in time, the public has 20 days to comment in writing. And then the record will be closed. Is that correct, Mr. Frank?
That's up to council if they put a time limit. Commission is offering 20 days once they get notice that it's been received to allow for a public record or written comments from the public or the applicant, either one.
Sure.
In response to those issues.
Right. Sure.
Well, we should have a 20-day period also, I guess, because we're going to have some things that will be presented to us.
Right.
Planning and zoning's got the 20 days, so upon receipt, we'll do 20 days also, and that'll keep everything moving along.
No, and okay. I would just for information, that 20 days, those two 20 days could partially overlap.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right. Depending when they get it,
well,
we get it week. Because we meet more than they do.
Is that going to be enough time?
Yeah. Can I ask one quick? Upon receipt of what?
Of
the report.
That, that
right, but the other one is going to be a presentation.
Right.
Once we get that presentation, it could be 20 days from that presentation.
Presentation.
Yes,
right.
I was getting ready to clarify.
We
got
to coordinate that with two different agencies.
Yeah.
Right.
And Mr. President, may I? I have been listening, and I don't know how this relates to this specific application, but it was brought to our attention today, some concerns about the road ownership next door, and I don't know how that relates to this. I mean, obviously, if somebody's been paying for a road that they don't own, again, I don't know how that, maybe it's a whole separate issue.
Development.
Not included into this at all.
You can't force somebody to give up something they own. Which they have, it's a deeded road, I would assume?
I do not know. It's first I heard of it today.
Right.
From what some of the presenters indicated, this is an older development, and the developer just deeded off lots alongside the road, retained ownership.
In those days, you were allowed to do it?
Yeah. It depends how far back it goes.
Right. Well,
if it was prior to zoning, yes.
Like you said, your question is about the road. I don't think we have any ability to require whoever owns that road to sell it to somebody else.
Agreed. I just want to know in the bigger picture how that plays out in this. And then also, again, I don't know what our responsibility is, or there's perhaps none, and I don't know. But obviously there was communication today as it relates to a possible archaeology find. You know, I don't think there was, again, I don't know how that plays out in this, or perhaps we allow that to be included as an item. If there is something, then you better get something to us or something presented.
Yes, it is.
Formally.
It is now part of the record because that was given, and as part of a condition that the council, if you would vote to approve this, that could be a condition, again, to address
that those
issue.
Areas spare.
But state law does address that, doesn't
yes.
it, Lane?
Ship.
If you find something as you're doing this, you've got to notify the state. And
they have regulations. They can stop construction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big fines if you don't disclosed what you find.
So it's not related specifically as it relates as a zoning issue. It would be perhaps an issue along the way,
right.
Perhaps.
State law.
Right. Okay.
It's an agency that gets notified, right? Yeah. Lawrence,
okay.
We get receipt.
Question, Mr. Orlick,
okay.
Well, if you have to preserve,
do you have any more questions?
Well, I'm just saying, if you have to preserve a graveyard like right. We've had to do, that does affect the number of homes. But that's about mm-hmm. So long as we get a report.
Okay, everybody's okay where we are, Mr. Lang.
Yes.
Written comments. What we would accept would be written comments only.
That is correct.
Right. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And they should be sent to the Planning and Zoning Office.
Yeah. Yes.
Could
yes.
you word a motion, Mr. Moore, and then I'll yes. make that motion.
It would be proper to move that the record be remain open for the sole purpose of getting the reports that Planning and Zoning is waiting for and having someone come address County Council at the soonest possible date from Soil Conservation Service to discuss the soil conservation regulations
pertaining to this
specific site. And then after that period of time, that the written or the record for written comments be held open for 20 additional days for the public and the applicants and any opposition to comment on specifically mm-hmm. those items only that the record was held open for. No other items.
I'll make that motion.
You talked about stormwater regulations.
That's what we just said.
He's talking about soil conservation. Are we going to have them both at one? Yeah. I just want to make sure we have both.
Soil conservation mm-hmm. who does the stormwater management.
Right. Stormwater management.
You got to be clear whether it's a Sussex Conservation District yeah. or whether it's a soil conservation group from Denrec.
Oh. Who's ever best...
And
to address the issues
of responsibilities.
Yeah, somebody.
Well, the local conservation district enforces the regulations.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you get somebody from Dover?
And if they get legal issues and violations, mm-hmm. they have to come from Dover.
If mm-hmm. Bill can come down, we can get somebody from Denrec. Yeah. Right, Bill?
Poor guy.
All right, everybody's clear on that? Well, I don't talk about from
so there's a motion that's been presented, correct?
Motion, Mr. Cole.
I will second that motion.
Second, Mr. Arnett. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Mrs. Dean?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
I will say yes, but was there a public comment after this, or is it we done after this?
We're done, buddy.
I just want to thank everybody for being here. I think it's important. This public session is important to get both sides, and I appreciate everybody's time and effort and energy. It's only been about 5.5 hours, correct? So in any event, my emotion is yes.
My vote's also yes. We're now
adjourned. So who made a second? I'm sorry.
Made a second.
I'll make it if you have it. Did Rob do the second?
Second was Rob.
Rob again. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, who's on first?
Somebody's on second.